Hello and welcome to Employment Law Matters. I'm Barrister Daniel Barnett. In January, I'm launching a brand new employment law course, the Virtual Employment Law Academy. It's a live, cohort-based, 14-module course taught by me over 7 weeks. The course will give you an understanding of UK employment legislation and case law that you can apply directly to your career in HR or legal practice. Today's episode of Employment Law Matters is actually an extract from the Virtual Employment Law Academy. It's a short extract from one of the modules on unfair dismissal, the one which covers whistleblowing and TUPE. What you're about to hear is more or less exactly what I'll be saying when I teach the TUPE section and talk about when TUPE applies. Do have a look. You can look while you're listening to this podcast. You can get more information about the Virtual Employment Law Academy at virtualemploymentlawacademy.com. This episode is supported by our two sponsors, Watson Ramsbottom Solicitors in Lancashire and occupational health expert Dr. Sarangi of coverclinic.com.
Welcome to Employment Law Matters with Barrister Daniel Barnett.
The Transfer of Undertakings Protection of Employment Regulations 2006 are a set of laws which protect employees when the business they work for is transferred to a new owner. When this happens, it's known as a TUPE transfer. Employees transfer automatically from the transferor, that's the original employer, to the transferee, the new employer. The transferee steps into the transferor's shoes and inherits all the rights and obligations in relation to the employees. If either the new or the old employer dismisses any employee with more than 2 years' employment as a result of the transfer, unless they can bring themselves within a very narrow defence, which I cover in the Virtual Employment Law Academy, but I'm not going to touch on in this podcast episode, the dismissal is automatically unfair, and the employer, almost always the new employer, incidentally, will have to pay compensation. In this episode, I'm going to talk about when TUPE applies, because if TUPE applies, any dismissals to avoid a TUPE transfer, or because a TUPE transfer has taken place, will be automatically unfair. TUPE applies to what's called a relevant transfer. There are two types of relevant transfer. They're set out in Regulation 3 of TUPE. The first is a business transfer. The second is a service provision change. I'll deal first with business transfer, then I'll come to service provision change. Now, business transfer is where a business or part of a business moves to a new owner. To qualify as a business transfer, the identity of the employer has to change. There's got to be the transfer of an economic entity which retains its identity afterwards. And there are three key elements. There's got to be an economic entity, there's got to be a transfer of that economic entity, and the economic entity has to retain its identity after the transfer. I'll explain all those in a bit more detail. So first, let's consider what is an economic entity. In Regulation 3.2 of TUPE, an economic entity is described as, wait for it, quote, an organised grouping of resources which has the objective of pursuing an economic activity, whether or not that activity is central or ancillary. I read that again. An organised grouping of resources which has the objective of pursuing an economic activity, whether or not that activity is central or ancillary. Now, sometimes it's easy to decide whether an economic entity has been transferred. It's going to be clear when a company sells its entire business to another company as a going concern. That will be a business transfer. So let's take a simple example, remembering these are examples from the Virtual Employment Law Academy. Cleanaway Limited buys the whole of Not So Clean's cleaning business. Cleanaway takes over the premises, Cleanaway takes over the equipment and Cleanaway takes over the staff of Not So Clean. It continues to provide the same cleaning service to Not So Clean's customers. The economic entity here is Not So Clean's cleaning business. The staff, the equipment, and the premises are an organised grouping of resources. The organised grouping pursues an economic activity, that's the provision of cleaning services. Also, the economic activity has to be stable. That means the economic activity has to be ongoing when it transfers. Just as an example, that would rule out a short-term building contract. That wouldn't be a stable economic entity because it's too short-term. In a labour-intensive business like cleaning, a stable economic activity would be carried on by an organised group of workers who are permanently assigned to particular work. And the workforce in our not-so-clean example would pass this test. With several years' sustained rapid growth and experts covering a full range of legal services, Watson Ramsbottom Solicitors are becoming a name you need to be aware of. From their roots in Lancashire, they've grown across into Yorkshire and are now taking instructions nationwide. Visit watsonramsbottom.com for more information. Watson Ramsbottom Solicitors. Whatever your legal issue, they've got your back. So we know what an economic entity is. What constitutes a transfer? Well, what about the transfer of part of a business rather than the whole business? That can be a CHUPI transfer, provided the part in question is a self-contained unit. Any assets, including staff, would need to be grouped together to create a distinct economic entity, which can be severed from the rest of the business. So, did the economic entity transfer? Usually that's going to be obvious. There'll be a clear date when the transfer happens and the new employer takes over responsibility for the business. In our example, Cleanaway now owns all of Not So Clean's assets. It's carrying out cleaning services for Not So Clean's former clients with Not So Clean's former staff. Not So Clean isn't operating anymore as a cleaning business. The entire business of Not So Clean has transferred to Cleanaway. The third limb, does the economic entity retain its identity? Try saying that after a few drinks. Well, the transfer has to relate to a going concern. The business still has to have an ongoing economic activity. The business and its activities have to still exist after the transfer. Again, this is usually easy to establish. Back to Cleanaway. They're carrying on the same business with the same staff for the same clients as Not So Clean did before the transfer. The business is the same before and after the transfer. The economic entity has retained its identity. Sometimes it's not so obvious. So to establish whether a business has retained its identity, the following questions might be helpful. First of all, have physical assets transferred, such as buildings and office equipment? Have most employees been taken on? Third, have the customers transferred? Fourth, has goodwill transferred, such as the brand name and customer databases or prospective customer lists? Fifth, how similar are the activities carried on to those before the transfer? And sixth, has there been any disruption or gap in the activities? All of these are factors to be taken into account, and tribunals step back and look overall at whether the business is continuing. Those factors aren't conditions that have to be fulfilled, they just contribute to an overall impression. So on similarity of activities, let's take the following case as an illustration. A hospital shop sold newspapers, sweets, and gifts. The shop was sold. The new owner changed the business to sell a wider range of convenience foods, clothes, and electrical goods in addition to the newspapers, sweets, and gifts which the business used to sell. CHUPI doesn't apply. There's too big a difference between the goods sold before the transfer and those sold after it. The business didn't retain its identity after the sale. Now, before I continue, please do remember this is a 15 or so minute extract from the module on TUPE that I'm going to be teaching as part of the Virtual Employment Law Academy from January. It's taught entirely online, which means you can fit your work around your existing employment and family commitments. You can either keep up with the modules as they happen live, 2 a week for 7 weeks, or you can watch them on demand at any time to suit your convenience. You can apply the skills and knowledge I'll give to you to your current role immediately so you can benefit from the course straight away. Have a look, www.virtualemploymentlawacademy.com. So that's the business transfer. Do you remember I said originally at the outset that there are two types of TUPE transfer? The first is a business transfer. The second, which causes TUPE to engage, is the service provision change. Now, there are three ways in which a service provision change can happen. First of all, outsourcing. That's where a company, often called the client, stops doing certain activities on its own behalf, such as cleaning, payroll, can be anything really, and gets a contractor to do it instead, outsources the work. The transfer is from the client, the old company, to the contractor. The second way is re-tendering. So the client changes from one contractor to another contractor to carry out the activities in question, sometimes after a formal re-tendering offer. Here, the transfer is from the outgoing contractor to the incoming contractor. And the third way is insourcing. That's where the client takes work back from a contractor and decides to do it in-house. The transfer is from the contractor back to the client. Let's look at an example. Widgets PLC contracts out its canteen and catering facilities to Cooking Crew. The contract with Cooking Crew is due to expire. Widgets PLC retenders and changes contractors. That's a service provision change. Or they take the catering service back in-house. Also, a service provision change. In both of those cases, TUPE will apply. Now, there are certain conditions which have to be satisfied for TUPE to apply when there's a service provision change. Number one, there has to be an organised grouping of employees whose main purpose is to carry out the activities, cooking, catering, on behalf of the client. Those are the employees who will transfer. Number two, the activities have to be fundamentally the same before and after the transfer. Number three, the client has to want the contractor to carry out the activities on an ongoing basis rather than for a single event or a short-term basis. And number four, the activities mustn't be related only to the supply of goods. So let's think about that a bit more. First, what about the requirement for an organised group of employees? Back to our example. If Cooking Crew always use the same employees in the Widget PLC kitchen and canteen, that's an organised grouping of employees. So if the contractor changes or the work's taken back in-house, TUPE will apply and those employees will transfer to the new contractor or back to Widget PLC, provided the other parts of the test are met. Let's take a different example. If a courier company uses different couriers at different times to service a particular client, that's not an organised grouping of employees. So if the client changes courier companies, TUPE doesn't apply. What about the requirement that the activities have to be fundamentally the same before and after the transfer? Back to Widgets PLC. When Cooking Crew had the catering contract, they cooked and served hot dinners in the staff canteen. When the contract ended, Widgets decided to stop providing hot food and instead install self-service fridges containing ready-prepared snacks and drinks. That contract was won by Cool Gang. TUPE is unlikely to apply to transfer Cooking Crew's employees to Cool Gang because the activities before and after the contract change are not fundamentally the same. Some absence or capability issues at work need expert help. Occupational health is a complex area where employers need clear guidance and medics who answer the questions that they've been asked. Dr. Joyshree Sarangi is an accredited specialist doctor who provides occupational health advice solutions for challenging work health problems. She can be contacted via www.coverclinic.com or by email via info@coverclinic.com. 2P doesn't apply where a business simply changes its suppliers. A transfer has to involve the supply of services as well as goods. Nor does 2P apply to a single event or a short-term task. So it won't apply if a business buys in services for a one-off event, such as a conference or an exhibition. 2P doesn't apply to share sales. When a company is taken over in a share sale, the identity of the employer doesn't change. So the employees continue to be employed by the same company. 2P doesn't apply, here's a niche one, 2P doesn't apply to the transfer of administrative functions within public authorities. The exercise of public powers isn't considered to be an economic activity, but it can apply to the transfer of staff carrying out economic activities in the public sector. For example, cleaning and maintenance activities in the public sector don't involve the exercise of any public power. They're economic activities, and they could be covered by 2P. Now, that's it for this episode. And if you haven't done so, can I strongly encourage you to sign up for the Virtual Employment Law Academy? It starts on the 31st of January, 2022. www.virtualemploymentlawacademy.com. Next week's episode is on long COVID and occupational health. And I'll be speaking with Anna Harrington of WHIB. I'm Barrister Daniel Barnett. If you don't already subscribe to Employment Law Matters or haven't left a review, please do. And more importantly, please have a look at virtualemploymentlawacademy.com and sign up. Thank you for listening. Stay safe.
Any information on this podcast is for general guidance only. Always seek legal advice. Please see full terms at www.danielbarnett.co.uk/podcast-terms.